Coming up on today's show.
And it's just like being grateful and making something of the opportunities that you have, you know, like I think any filmmaker probably or any songwriters or artists would say that.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from north of Los Angeles, my guest is a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist who released a new single in April. She has been reviewed by Rolling Stone magazine, and she has been in Music Connection magazine as well. She comes from very notable entertainment lineage, and she even hosts her own self-titled show with significant distribution. While she performs in and around the greater Los Angeles area, including notable venues such as the Viper Room and Hotel Cafe, she has even played in the music hotbed of Austin, Texas. She recently appeared in her first TV commercial and has close ties to a past guest from this show. You've been hearing her version of the classic Jackson Browne song, Doctor My Eyes. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Arwen Lewis.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks ever so much for making time to talk with me today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation, and thanks for noting all of my accomplishments.
You bet. We have all heard the Jackson Browne song, Doctor My Eyes, obviously. However, your own rendition of it was just playing during the intro. What inspired you to pick that song to want to record and put your own treatment on?
Well, you know, to be honest, I was just listening to it one evening. It popped on my playlist when I was making dinner. And we had just started working on an EP for me, my co-producer and I. And I thought, you know what, I would like to sing this song. It's got a good vibe. I really loved the riff that Jackson Browne does in his version. I was dancing to it, and it felt like a good feeling to incorporate into my EP. And so I called my co-producer, Jonathan McEwen, and I said, you know, do you think we could put a track together for me to cover Doctor My Eyes? And he said, absolutely. And we just got together and worked on something a little different than Jackson Browne's take. I don't know that that was intentional. It's just kind of what naturally happened. Jonathan just played the chord progression on the keys, and then he laid down like kind of a basic vocal for me to sing to find my own way to sing it. And I found, you know, my version of singing his melody. And then from there, yeah, I thought it would be really nice with horns on that track. And so a very talented trumpeter named Jeff Elliott graciously put a horn part down. And when we had gotten to the engineer's studio, engineer's name is Graham Palmer. He has a recording studio in Buellton, California called Surprise Studio. We had everything down besides the background vocals. So Jonathan laid the background vocals down. I think he arranged them on the spot and did it in one take. And then Graham suggested clapping on there to make it kind of more like a New Orleans-y style vibe. And that's kind of how the track came together. And we ended up with, yeah, my version of it. And I just love it. I love every track on the record. And I just got to work with some very talented musicians who, you know, helped my music evolve in, you know, every way that I hoped it would for this EP.
Is there such a thing as feeling the way you felt when you heard it? You're in the kitchen, you're dancing to it a little bit. Is there such a thing as having the thought that you did, but then putting it to the side and saying, let me make sure I still feel this way tomorrow and a week later and 2 weeks later, and then I'm not just caught up in the moment of, yay, I'm in a real good mood right now and this song is hitting the spot? Or is it, you know what, Bruce, I very much go with my gut, and if I felt it in that moment, I must have been meant to record it?
When I'm really excited about a song, I mean, if we tried to lay it down and it didn't work, I would know, and I definitely wouldn't have moved forward with it. But yeah, like, I mean, I got really lucky to work with Jonathan McEwen because he was able to help me adapt the songs that my songs, you know, he helped them evolve and the covers that I did into my own version, you know, with my vision. And luckily, we, you know, found the right way to execute that. And so, yeah, I think the only thing that would discourage me would be if it just wasn't, you know, I think you know when something doesn't sound good after you've recorded it, for sure. So I was happy with the way it made me feel when we finished the track.
I like that answer. I like that answer. Well said. Let's go way back now. I mentioned in the intro that you come from very notable entertainment lineage. Since I have been fortunate to get listeners from 165 countries around the world over my 10 and a half years doing the show, there are going to be people just being introduced to you for the first time, Arwin. Share with them who that is that I'm referring to when I say that, but then on a related note, what inspired you to pursue music?
Yeah, my dad was in a band called Moby Grape. They were like a 60s psychedelic rock and roll band. They're very well known in the rock and roll world, and they're kind of known as like cult heroes because they had a short career in the mainstream. Unfortunately, they had an unfortunate experience with management, so they didn't, you know, take it all the way, but their music is legendary. They were, you know, five incredible musicians, all with specific styles that came together and formed a rock band. And they were all as sophisticated as you can be in their genres. Like, there was Jerry Miller, who was the lead rock and roll guitar player. I think Eric Clapton said Jerry Miller was one of the best guitar players in the world. And he was noted in Rolling Stone magazine at one of the top guitar players as well. But he was also in Rolling Stone in addition to me. But and sadly, Jerry just passed. My dad, Peter Lewis, he got, you know, his foundation for music. My grandmother was an actress named Loretta Young. And so my dad spent lots of time in New York going to the Broadway shows when he was a child. And like classical music and show tunes were very engraved in his subconscious as a musician. And then he found out he was in a surf band. So he had a surf rock background, as well as he really loved Ricky Nelson. So he incorporated that into his foundation. He became this kind of like ethereal folk rock musician. And then there was Bob Mosley, who's a blues singer. He played the bass. He sang in a choir when he was young, but he's just the most bad, like bad in a good way, blues singer I've ever heard. Like if you hug him, he feels like a stone statue. He's just like rock solid. And then there was Don Stevenson, the drummer who came from Canada, just incredible rock drummer who wrote like really great rock songs. Him and Jerry worked together in a band called The Frantics before they formed Moby Grape. And of course, Skip Spence, who was the lead, kind of the front man of Moby Grape, who sadly he's not with us either, but he had a very unique way of moving his chords and composing his music, and his energy was just like a bright ray of sunshine. And anyway, so the five of them together, just, you know, they sang five-part harmony. They all wrote songs. They were just in the pocket, and you know, they were in the right place at the right time in the beginning, and they had, you know, really great music, to say the least, I guess. But anyway, so that's kind of where I started learning how to play, as I started working with my dad, and he was teaching me Moby Grape songs. And so my foundation of learning music was just, you know, learning through that. And not to say that I didn't have a passion for music my entire life leading up to that and all different genres, which I did and do. But yeah, my foundation came from that. Yeah.
But what age was that when your father started to teach you? And I'll tell you why I'm asking that question.
Yeah, it had to, 15 years ago, so I guess it must have been 21, it was later. I always thought when I was younger, I just was like, oh, it's too late, like I'm too late for me to be a musician, and then I just decided to go for it, and luckily my dad helped me out.
So that's interesting to me, because audience, if you didn't pick it up, Arwin said it rather quickly, but she is the granddaughter of Oscar and Emmy Award-winning actress Loretta Young. So that's kind of where I was going with that, Arwin, was you could have decided at a young age to be an actress instead because of your grandmother. You could have decided to be a chef, an accountant, anything you wanted, the nursing field, who knows. So I was interested to find out what age that was, because if you had told me that at the age of five, your father put a guitar in your hands, it's like, well, okay, it had pretty much been predetermined. So I think that's even more fascinating that it wasn't until the age of 21.
Yeah, I mean, I had a pretty normal upbringing. You know, I did all the extracurricular activities a kid would do in a small town, like ballet and soccer and, you know, And then I ended up doing homeschool. So I spent most of my time camping on the beach with my friends after I did my homework. But yeah, we grew up in a small town, and it was really before cell phones. So you still had that kind of traditional, I guess, like American storybook upbringing. But I really couldn't take it anymore, not being able to play music. It's not that I even needed to express myself like to other people that way. It was that I wanted to be able to do it. So, and the reason why I put myself out there as a professional musician is so I can find my tribe. And I feel like I have, and I still am. And I love the community that, music and performance creates. Yeah.
And audience, now that you have heard that background setting that Arwen just did for us about her father and about the band, her debut album back in 2015 was produced by an Oscar-winning singer-songwriter, and it's a collection of 12 Moby Grape songs. This was the release, by the way, that Rolling Stone magazine wrote a review of that I mentioned in the intro. Arwen, can you tell us about the making of that album?
Yeah, I guess my dad had told John DeNicola, because they were old friends, that he was working with me and teaching me about recording and rock music, basically, and we sent him some demos that we had made of me singing Moby Grape songs, primarily just for me to learn how to record and, you know, how that music moved. And John was like, why don't we make an album of Arwen as the lead singer and then make it Moby Grape music? And to me, I was like, I mean, of course, it was kind of a dream come true, but it kind of seemed surreal, because why would I, like a young 20-something-year-old woman, like, be singing a powerhouse group of men? Why would I be singing their music? But John really, he did it perfectly in the way his production worked. And my dad and I were very involved in, you know, making decisions as far as, like, the music went. But John hired, you know, the best musicians from the East, studio musicians and touring musicians from the East Coast to play the parts note for note. And I went out there and I did my vocals with John in Manhattan in his studio. And it was so great to work with John, because he's a great coach, and really, I think a great producer really holds space for you to express your ideas, but also guide you in a way to get the best performance you can possibly get. And so, yeah, like, that's kind of where that idea came from. And it just evolved from there. And I could never really believe that it actually happened. I mean, I've just kind of kept going with it, because, you know, opportunities just seem to keep coming to me, as whether it's performing or recording or working with people I admire. And, you know, I still have a long journey that I want to go on, and, you know, becoming more of a sophisticated musician myself. And so it's a lifelong journey that I'm very happy to be on.
I like it. I like it. Great answer. Great description, too, of that album project. Here is that new segment that just started last week. In an effort to really connect in a more personal way with you, the audience, in person, my own tour dates. If one or more of these is a good chance to meet you, email me or private message me through social media. Go back to last week's interview if you did not hear that, and listen to the backstory I gave as to why I'm creating this segment. The dates should be finalized by the day this interview comes out, but the last week of September, I will be back in Los Angeles, including, but not limited to, speaking at the Outlier Podcast Festival. The next week, October 1st through the 6th, I will be in the Florida Panhandle at the Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival, including, but not limited to, a free Promoting Your Music Career workshop that I'm putting on Saturday morning, October 5. On Friday night, October 11, I will be at the West Dawson Music Venue in Dawson Springs, Kentucky, for a show featuring three Nashville songwriters. And I'm also going to be back in Las Vegas at the start of December, including speaking at the Las Vegas Writers Retreat, and that is writers of books, not music. There also could be at least one, if not two, more stops to come as well. This is my 2024 NHTE tour, 10 years of talking tunes. I hope to meet you out on the road somewhere. Arwen, you just told us about your debut album, which you followed up with a 6-song EP last year, which you co-produced. Can you tell us about the making of that project?
Yeah, I think my experience in being so involved with the first record that I got to make with John DeNicola, and with working with my dad too before that, just showed me exactly what it took to, you know, get the right people together, you know, to bring songs together that I had in mind or that I'd written. and create them in a musical sense that I feel, you know, is like kind of, I guess, true to my spirit, because I think that's really important for an artist to really just create music that they love rather than trying to make something that is going to, you know, like please an audience or get attention. I got really lucky to be connected to a group of musicians at that time who I really loved the way they played. And so I knew that, you know, certain parts could be played by certain people and it would be perfect. And so what happened was Jonathan McEwen is a friend of my parents, and they had met him at a club in Solvang when he was performing, and he's an exceptional musician, performer, because, you know, he's just, he can sing and play anything. If you ever get to see him live, like, please do. But he was like, you know, like, he'd started mentoring me, and he asked if I wanted to make an EP. And I, of course, jumped on that, because when am I going to get that chance again? And so we just chose songs, a couple covers, and then there were some songs that I had that I had written, and then, you know, like kind of a co-thing that I did with my dad's lyrics and music that I had had. And we just started with like getting the bones down in the recordings, and then one thing kind of led to another, and before I knew it, we were over at Graham's studio finishing the final stems for each track and mixing and mastering, and then I sent it to John DiNicola, and he said it was wonderful, and he'd put it out, and now it's out there in the universe floating around, and I'm so happy for that.
You've mentioned him a few times already, so I want to keep his name in the conversation. Tell us about the songwriting trio that you are a member of.
Oh, yeah. So that's George Adrian. So me and my dad and George Adrian have been working together for about 10 years. And when I was making my LP, the Arwen album with the Moby Grape songs, my dad started taking me down to LA to play in clubs to see what that was like. It's kind of a crazy story, but we were playing in a club down in North Hollywood, and we met George, and George and my dad just immediately, you know, kind of connected, talking about music. And George is another one of just these, like, I don't know, he's like a rock god. He's from Chicago initially, and then I think he must have been in LA for 30 years or something. And he played the last note at the Cat Club. He had a residency, I don't know, for 20 years at the Cat Club before it closed. And he's kind of got this like Chicago, like blues, but also like Cheap Trick vibe. But, and, you know, a lot of experience in alternative music and like rock in general. And he and my dad kind of started writing together. And, you know, my dad's a little more ethereal, but can kind of play any thing too, you know, so them together composing was really interesting, because and my dad also adds these elements of that are almost like symphonic, but he'll put a section in a song that's kind of like, you know, like you would hear a string section playing it in a symphony or something, but because it's like a rock or a songwriting song, you know, the vocals will do it, and you kind of first you'll listen to it and you're like, why would you do something like that? And then you listen again and you're like, oh my gosh, it's brilliant. And so I just was in the room with them a lot, and finally I was, you know, got some songs of mine in there, and you know, they helped me develop those as well. And there's two versions of my song Winter on my EP, but there is also another version of Winter, a rock version that I did with my dad and George. We had a band in LA called the Ellen Bells with bass and drums, so that's kind of how our songwriting thing evolved into us having a full rock band for a while. And now we've come back to like an acoustic trio, and we're working on some recordings, live recordings right now that we hope to get out there pretty soon. But it's been really great to work with them together, because there's three generations of us. And so we all have our different perspective, and you might look at us on stage and be like, why are those three people up on stage together? And then you're like, oh, I can, it's interesting. You know, it's like something different, you know, and just kind of a representation of each of our generations musically, and them all coming together in harmony.
Now, I think that you do write by yourself, but when you co-write, do you only co-write with George and your dad, or is it, no, we've got this nice little trio, but I co-write with lots of people?
No, yeah, I've only actually co-written with my dad and George. I never even thought about that. But yeah, and then I've just kind of written songs on my own. And but I've had, like, for my EP, like, I've had people, like, I mean, I wouldn't say they, like, wrote half the song, but definitely composed music that I feel, like, makes the song. And, you know, you might as well have written half of it, for sure. So, yeah. But generally, like, when I'm writing a song, it's I'll take a song and then give it to a musician, and they'll compose, like, a part for it that I think is better.
You let them do what they do, right?
Well, that's the important thing with musicians. It's like choose who you want to work with because of how they play. You know, I don't really agree. It depends on what you're going for. I mean, if you're sure if you're in like a Broadway production or you're a studio musician really, you know, playing a part that's been composed and you need a full band to just execute it at once, that's one thing. But I like to allow musicians that I work with to be themselves and exactly, play what they play so their spirit comes through. And I think that makes for beautiful art.
Back in the intro, I referred to some of the performing that you have been doing in and around the area you're in out there. And I would love for you to expand on that and tell us about your experience as a performer in the Los Angeles music scene, as you've just started to allude to a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it started about 10 years ago. And recently, like, I've gone back a few times and I got to play in a great show, Songwriter Showcase, at Hotel Cafe, that's hosted by a woman named Caroline Dizelle. And it's called Monday Monday, and she invites a group of songwriters on Mondays once a month to, perform three songs. And so that was a really interesting experience because I like being in showcases like that because you're exposed to other people's art, and then you find out that, like, you fit into this certain niche that you may not have ever discovered or thought you would be involved in. And so, I mean, that's really great, and the sound was great there. George Adrian came and accompanied me on guitar for that showcase, and I played two of my songs and then one co-write, I guess, with me and my dad. I did Winter, Man on the Moon, and Black Moon. And because of, you know, I had my acoustic guitar, George had his electric guitar, and then I sang lead, of course, and he sang some harmonies, but it kind of had a vibe that we were like sitting by a river in the south somewhere. It had this like really cool bluesy thing going on because George was playing a lot of slide guitar, and those situations are really cool too when you strip your music down and exactly just have your bandmate or musician, you know, play what they feel in the moment, because sometimes there's magic there. Luckily that night there was.
Folks, I am about to reveal which past guest from this show Arwen has close ties to. But first, I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from north of Los Angeles by singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Arwen Lewis. Visit her official website at arwenlewismusic.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You have been hearing about the music she has released. Look for it and the single she released in April, called Man on the Moon, on online digital music retailers. At the bottom of arwenlewismusic.com, you will see links to go follow her on Facebook and Instagram. She is also on YouTube as well, and of course, do give her a follow on Spotify. Plus, for information on upcoming shows, find Arwen Lewis on Bands in Town. I am looking at the screen inside the OWL app right now at the activity that I have had on there lately. August 5th, August 9th, August 12th. I'm talking about incoming calls that I have received on there. I talk about it every week. If you still have not gotten yourself on there, this is more proof of connections that are being made. So what are you waiting for? OWL, like the bird, except with two W's and two L's, is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. Think of it as the phone call version of LinkedIn, except you're connecting right away instead of having to wait to see if someone accepts your connection request and or your private message. Here is how to become a part of it. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click into the news section and then look for the article in there under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. The OWL app is free to download, and I have links in that article to get it from the App Store or Google Play. Plus, I have my invitation code in that article because you will need that as you're setting up your app on your phone. It is a required field. Arwen, I gave out all those plugs of yours, but there was one more I could have said. Share with the audience about the Arwen Lewis Show, what it is, how they can listen, how long you've been doing it, all the details.
Yeah, that's been really fun for me. So you can find out about it at thearwenlewisshow.com. And I have my own channel on Pantheon Podcast, so you can visit pantheonpods.com, I think is what it is. And you can find my channel on there. It's available on all of your favorite podcast platforms, iHeart, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, etc. And so about a year ago, I was producing a concert series for a venue called The Hitching Post. Have you seen the movie Sideways?
I have not.
Oh, it's a wine movie directed and made by Alexander Payne. I'm back. I don't know. It must have been 15, 20 years ago now. But anyway, that movie came out and part of it was filmed at the Hitching Post. And that's what made San Ynez Valley, put it on the map as far as like wine country goes. It's kind of like the new Napa, or actually, side note, our geography is very interesting. We have the same kind of geography as like old world Europe does. So we have a bunch of different microclimates within the San Ynez Valley that allow for different, like basically every grape varietal to grow, depending on the little climates that are in each little pocket. And so the Hitching Post is kind of like a symbol for that now. And so they're well known, and I was invited by the owner to produce a concert series for them for the summer. And I did live sound for that. And my executive producer for the Arwen Lewis Show, Jeremiah Higgins, wanted to interview Frank Ostini, the owner of Hitching Post, because Jeremiah, he interviews chefs, restaurant owners, musicians, and people in the entertainment industry, et cetera. And so Frank invited me graciously to go on the show with him and talk about my music, just kind of as a favor, and talk about the concert series. And so I met Jeremiah, and Jeremiah invited me to bring each artist for the concert series on his show and co-host and promote the concert series. And then Jeremiah from there said, "You know what, Arwen, you're really good at this. Would you like your own radio show?" And I was like, just came out of nowhere, right? And I'm like, "Yeah, I would love my own radio show. That sounds great." Yeah, and an interesting fact too, my grandfather, my dad's dad, he actually was in radio. So he actually founded the Armed Forces Radio Network, which is just a random coincidence. He was a colonel in the army. And he traveled all around the world and found different transmission points and basically made it possible for the soldiers to listen all over the world, to each other to see what was going on. And also find some entertainment too. And that's actually how my grandfather met my grandmother. She was doing a radio show with him to entertain the troops, basically. And then they ended up getting married, and he was the producer of the Loretta Young Show. So for me, though, like just I've been interviewing musicians for a little over a year. I'm almost at 100 episodes, and it's been an incredible experience. I've had some really notable guests, and a lot of like everybody that I've had, I've learn something new about music from. Every musician has their own approach to music and, being involved in the music business and putting their music out there. And I play seven tracks during the show, and then we just talk about their journey, and, wherever the conversation takes us is totally fine. But yeah, it's basically it. And the artist ends up with an hour-long kind of biographic. I don't know, almost like a resume or something. And it just kind of worked out that way. But it's really fun for me because, I mean, I have a degree in English too, so I enjoy writing and, all aspects of documenting history. And so this is my way of, like just putting a little audio storybook together, which has been really fun.
But the way that you described how that show came to be, I love the way that these opportunities have manifested for you. And I think it's because you are availing yourself to what is out there for you, and you're also putting yourself in position. You're not just sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring or for an email to show up in your inbox. You're going out and you're meeting people and you're staying active in the music community, and it's leading to these opportunities that we're hearing, such as your show.
Yeah, and I think that's true to life. If you follow your heart, right, you follow your bliss, then you'll stay in it regardless. And it's just like being grateful and making a something of the opportunities that you have. Like I think any filmmaker probably, or any songwriters or artists would say that, it takes a certain amount of like faith and humbleness, I think, to allow the magic to unfold in certain cases. And then I think that's what makes it that much more special and unique, rather than, buying your way into something. I think it's better to allow things to kind of naturally unfold and, see what other surprises the universe has for us, right? I mean, I'm in an area and I'm lucky, for what I have. I guess not everybody can say that in the world, but I'm grateful for my opportunities, and yeah, I'm open to whatever the world has to offer.
You and me both. You and me both. Okay, here it is, folks. Back on episode 428, which came out in April of 2022, my guest was singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, and recording engineer Chris Polonis, who also owns Lost Chord Guitars, which includes a music venue and a boutique guitar shop in Arwen. I'll just let you take it from there.
I can't believe you had Chris on your show. I can't wait to tell him. That's awesome. You're going to have to send that to me when we get off the call. Yeah, I've been working for Chris for a couple years, and Chris Balonis has given me the opportunity to grow so much as an artist, as a person on the back end of, you know, the entertainment that takes place at Lost Chord Guitars. Randomly, I live in Solvang. I walked in there one night, and, you know, Chris is created this sanctuary for artists and songwriters. That's a state-of-the-art listening room. And I know you're familiar with Chris, so he's a speaker designer and has made that room just absolutely, there's no better sound like in any listening room like that I've been to, like a club, like anywhere really. I mean, I haven't traveled all over the world, but it's got pretty much like the best sound I've ever heard. The walls are hollow, the floor is treated, the speakers and monitors are perfect. The board is it's a condensed board. It has like 14 layers with like 16 channels and has all the effects you need. And I've been lucky to get kind of trained on the sound there too. That's how I got to do the sound at the Hitching Post gig, was because I was training on sound at Lost Chord. And anyway, so now I'm so excited. I'm going to be booking and managing the venue.
Wow.
And so I'm really looking forward to that. And you know, I've produced not a lot of show, but a handful of successful shows there. Like I had my release party there, and I had, you know, almost all the musicians who played on my EP Under the Stars, they came and, you know, we performed a cool show. And the cool thing about Lost Chord is that, you know, I meet so many people, like so many artists that come through and play there. And yeah, I kind of ended up collaborating with a handful of them, and it creates community. And I'm really excited to have the chance to, yeah, I guess like be Bill Graham.
So cool. So cool. Such a small world, this music community, the more time that you spend in it. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. It is such a small world. It's wild.
I must say, audience, when I first started doing my research on Arwen, I saw Lost Chord Guitars and my eyes were like flying saucers. I went, wait a minute, what? This is so cool. What a small world. How amazing. Of course, the Chris Polonis connection. And by the way, I will have a link on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net, to episode 428. So you can go back and hear my conversation with Chris Polonis. Arwen, both your debut album and then the EP last year were put out on OMAD Records. Audience, it's like the word nomad, except without the N at the beginning. In fact, you even have a button on the homepage of your website that links over to the OMAD Records website. What can you tell us about OMAD Records?
Well, it is a safe haven and godsend to me and all the artists on there.
Mm.
John DiNicola, the producer of the Arwen record, is the owner of OMAD Records. I guess that stands for Ordinary Madness. I didn't know that, but I learned that from, I think, another artist, Robert LaRoche, who just came to Lost Chord Guitar with Patricia Vaughn, and they put on a fantastic show. They came out from Austin, Texas, and they go between New York and Austin. But OMAD's amazing. It, you know, just allows the artists that are on there to create, and like each artist on there knows, you know, what their vision is as far as art is concerned and music is concerned. And so each one is individual and different. And I think that's really special because it's nothing like a commercial radio, you know, and it's, you know, allowing people to maintain their individuality, which I think is really important now and always. So we are able to leave the subculture of whatever place you're creating art from behind in history and, you know, keep a file of it. And so, yeah, OMAD's amazing. And they've been really supportive of me as an artist and, you know, giving me the chance to put myself out there and find my people. So I'm so grateful. And I love every artist on there.
And I love that you have maintained connections to New York as one of the major music meccas of the United States. You mentioned that your first album was recorded there. And now you're saying that John is the one that's behind OMAD Records. And of course, he's based in Manhattan, so I like that you have those connections to at least two of the major music meccas in the U.S.
Yeah, like, I mean, I love New York, I love L.A., I love Austin, Texas, and what's cool about being in Solvang and having Lost Chord, you know, like, as, like, my home base is, like, I get to bring everything that I've experienced, I guess, if you call it spiritually or musically or whatever, in these places, like, bring that, like, I know what that energy and those, you know, the vibes of those places are. And so I feel like I'm really looking forward to, you know, bringing that to life and solving, like, with this booking opportunity. I think it's going to be really fun. And, you know, I'm very grateful to be connected in all these hubs.
Yeah, you've met so many people along your music journey so far. You're only going to meet more and more and more now as the person that's doing the booking for Lost Chord.
Yeah.
Whether you want to meet them or not, by the way.
Oh, no, I mean, I find a reason to appreciate everybody, I think.
I like that. Well, you've done a really nice job today of taking us on a journey through your music career to this point. I wonder, how would you like to evolve as a musician and songwriter?
You know, I think I would really love to eventually be able to read music. I would love to, like, really study classical and jazz so I have a foundation to create in the genre of, like, alternative, you know, but with underlying sophistication. I just want more freedom as a musician to be able to improvise more with whoever I'm playing with and learn more about harmony. And yeah, I just want to crack the code for music. So I'm like, I think I'm 75% there.
Before we start to wind things down, back in the first half of the show, you talked about the LA music scene. Plus, when I was giving out all your online destinations, I said that the audience can look you up on Bands in Town for information about upcoming shows. But tell me, what are your ideal venues to perform in?
Well, I mean, I love, like, a great listening room that I'm blessed to play in. But also, I mean, in the future, I would love to play in, like, really classic theaters or, like, a cathedral with just, like, really rich sound and also just, like, a rich history where you really, like, feel the spirit of the place and when you're performing. And yeah, I think that's my future ideal venue that I'm hoping to experience in the future with great tour support and a great band.
Audience, we're not going to play it today, so I do want you to please go and look it up. But Arwen, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you a chance to talk about the new single Man on the Moon that you released in April.
Oh, well, thank you for bringing that up. So Man on the Moon, the first release of it was on my EP Under the Stars with a full band. And the band I mentioned earlier that I worked with in LA with my dad and George Adrian, we initially had that song and George had initially arranged this, like, three-part harmony on there that was very kind of gospel, which I really loved. And then when we went to record it for my EP, this is, like, the electric version. I played, like, an electric guitar, and Jonathan heard the vocals that George had arranged, and then Jonathan went in and sang those parts. But then George put, like, a really low harmony on it, which was really awesome. So he's, like, kind of like the foundation or, like, an atmospheric part of the vocals. And then he did a cool slide guitar part. And because my rhythm, I played on a blues hawk, it was kind of out of time because I didn't play it with a click track, but I wanted it to sound like that because I wanted it to sound and make you, the listener, feel like they were, like, floating in space or something. And the drummer, Austin Beatty, just did a fantastic job with completely playing in the pocket with my out of timeness. So that was cool. But the single I just released is actually my stripped down piano version of it. And I had gone to visit a friend's studio who I met through my podcast. His name's Zach Madden, really, really fantastic producer and songwriter and singer and musician himself. And I was just going to go check out his studio called Goodland Sound in Goleta, California. And he's like, why don't you try, like, playing something on the piano and, you know, sing something just so you can kind of hear what it sounds like in here. And I've never recorded with the piano before. And I sat down and I laid down a piano track and he's like, you know, sing over it. And then an hour later I left with the track. And yeah, so we came up with that and I wasn't expecting that at all. It just happened on the spot.
Wow.
And I sent the recording to John DiNicola and I asked him, I was like, would you be interested in putting this out as a single? And he said, absolutely. And so that's what happened. And then randomly, John had picked a day to release Man on the Moon. And it happened to be the day of the eclipse, the total solar eclipse. I swear, we've got all these, like, I have more crazy stories like that. I'll save for another time. But weird coincidences around my music, which is fun. It's almost spooky, but in a good way.
So cool. So cool. So having heard that, is there anything new being written, recorded, a project in the pipeline that maybe might be out before the end of the year? What does it look like in terms of any new music that you might be releasing in the near future?
I am part of a Christmas collab, Christmas album. Mm. I can't exactly give you all the details, but me and a group of artists are involved in a very fun Christmas record. And I will say the song that I recorded for it, it's a classic Christmas song. Here's one more spooky coincidence. And I had sent it to the producer after I did my parts. And I asked if he could make it sound kind of scratchy, like an old record.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, sure. And so he put the record on the record player and put the needle down to get the scratchy sound, because it was a very old record, and the oohs, the background vocals, were in the exact key that I recorded
Whoa.
The song in. And
wow.
So we sampled those, and those are on the track too, so that's going to be fun.
Wow. That's cool. That tells you that it was meant to be.
Yeah.
So one piece of housekeeping, Arwen. You mentioned that Man on the Moon that you played piano, and of course we've also heard mention of guitar. Since I've been referring to you as a multi-instrumentalist, are guitar and piano your quote-unquote only two instruments, or are there more?
I mean, guitar primarily. I would love to really explore piano more, and, you know, I mean, if there was a way that I'd see myself evolving, like in my dream world, I would, you know, be able to really accompany myself on piano and sing, you know, like perform like a whole set like that. I would really enjoy that. So I'm hoping for that in the future. But I have a bass. Yeah, I can play bass. I'd love to play the drums, but I've never, you know, experienced that before. But I would say I have a nice sense of rhythm. And so I think that, you know, with some work, that would be, you know, feasible in the near future too.
But if someone comes to see you perform, is it going to be solo guitar?
A guitar.
Yeah, the overwhelming majority of the time. Maybe there's extenuating circumstances where there is a piano.
Yeah, but primarily guitar, and usually accompanied by other fantastic musicians.
Okay.
Or, you know, sometimes it's just me and my guitar doing my, like, country singer-songwriter thing.
Mm.
But classic country, not current country, not pop country. Like what pop country used to be in the 50s and 60s.
All right. Noted. We are going to close with a track from the EP that Arwen put out last year, a song called Winter. Before I let you go and I play that one, Arwen, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
Yeah, I love this track. We had the guitar track down, and then they're a very talented artist named Jason Achilles and I were doing some shows together at Lost Chord, and he composed like a piano part to play on the song when we performed. We were splitting the bill, but he had backed me up on a couple songs. And I was like, you know what? I really like that. Like, would you record a track for it for my EP? And so he did. And then he suggested cello, and a very talented cellist, an accomplished cellist named Angus Cook, who has a studio called Orange Whip Studios in Goleta. I think he is right next to Zach Madden, the man who I recorded that Man on the Moon piano track. Their studios are right next to each other. And Angus Cook put cello on it. And I mean, I think, like, as far as my vocal performance on that record, I love it all, but I think this was my favorite one. And if there was, you know, a way that I'd like my music to move in the future, it would be like this, you know, like piano and like strings, or like play with an orchestra, like in a cathedral. I think the spirit of, yeah, like myself as at least an alternative artist kind of captured in the song. So I'm really happy to share it today.
Arwen, so great to meet you. Thank you for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. I know it's been a few months, but congratulations nonetheless on the release of Man on the Moon. And we'll be looking forward to that Christmas project and a lot more that will be coming from you. So thank you for making time to be on the show today.
Thank you so much, Bruce. It was great to meet you. And thanks for your very thoughtful podcast.
My pleasure. And with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Arwen Lewis. Do visit her official website at arwenlewismusic.com. As I mentioned earlier, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Her new single, Man on the Moon, just released in April, as well as her back catalog, is available through online digital music retailers. At the bottom of arwenlewismusic.com, there are links, logos, for Facebook and Instagram. This morning, I followed her on both of those, and I know she would appreciate you doing the same. Look for Arwen's official YouTube channel as well and hit the subscribe button there. Plus, do give her a follow on Spotify. Remember to search for Arwen Lewis on Bands in Town to keep up with information on where and when you can go see her perform live. I do truly hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Arwen and I and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, 10 and a half years now without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 549. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Arwen Lewis. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Winter.
Sky had fallen down, I swallowed my pride.